that I had when I first became a dad. I think there were the feelings immediately of shock and awe. In fact, terror might be a better adjective to describe that moment for me. As I stood there with those feelings, I had a sense of pride, unconditional love, and relief. Relief that my children look more like their mom than me. It's been said that it's been said that a dad is a person who is forced to go through childbirth without having. Yeah. Becoming a dad or becoming a godly father is more than just one trip to the labor and delivery room. It's about living your life in such a way that at the end of the day, both God and your kids can be proud of. Being a dad is a whole lot easier to say than to be and to do. But this one thing I'm convinced of, our Heavenly Father has never intended for any of us as men and as fathers to fail. He wants us to be the kind of fathers that love our kids in the same way that He loves us. Sad to say that for most of us, we've had very little training. Ours has been on-the-job training, and we've learned from our trials and our errors. We've learned through trial and error. Our errors have created for our life our trials. And so with that wonderful note, turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Do you think we'll be able to show that video this morning?
That was the end of it. Stop. Sorry.
Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And maybe next week, if you'd like to come back, we'll show you the rest of that video. I'm reading this morning from the New International Version. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 of Matthew chapter 3. Bless you. As soon as Jesus was baptized... As soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water. And at that moment, all of heaven was opened up. And Jesus the Son saw the Spirit of His Father descending like a dove and lighting on Him. And the voice of His Father from heaven said, "This is My Son, whom I love very much. With Him, I am well pleased." Can we just bow our hearts on this day that we celebrate fathers, and can we pray? And Lord, as we bow our hearts and our heads, we ask that You indeed would be a Father to each of us. That on this Father's Day, we pray, God, that the influence of the Father would be felt great in each of our hearts. That each of us would hear Your voice. For Lord, Your voice has a familiar ring to it. And that voice has an ability to speak to all the things in our life and to make them possible. So God, let each of us hear Your voice. Let each of our hearts be changed by it. May Your voice speak up for our lives. And in the midst of all things that we're going through, we ask God that You would make our things possible. For those of us that have our Father still with us, let this be a wonderful day with Him. May this be a day for Him, a day that motivates Him to be more like You. And God, for those of us that celebrate this without our fathers, we ask God that You would make the bitter place in our day full of Your sweetness. Lord, stir in our hearts the remembrances of our fathers and let them be strong in us and for us. And finally, Lord, for those of us that have not had good father images, You be the Father that figures in our life today. God, You fill in that gap in our life because, Lord, You know we've looked for that figure, we've looked for that Father, and it's been hard to find Him here on earth. So God, for those of us that weren't raised by good fathers, begin now to fill in that gap, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. No Pastor Greg's sermon would be complete without the help of Noah Webster. And today Noah would say this about a father, that a father is simply a person of great responsibility, power, and influence. I think he said it well. He added to that this note on being a father figure, that a father figure serves as an emotional substitute. And so I think we can draw from that particular definition that a father is a powerful part of a child's emotional lifestyle. That a father has power, he has responsibility, and he has influence. It was Carol Coates who said this about fathers. She said, "A father is a man who expects his children to be as good as he meant to be." It was Helen Rowland, and I thought this was cute. She said, "A man's desire for a son is usually nothing but the wish to duplicate himself in order that such a remarkable pattern may not be lost to the world." And all the men said, "Excuse me, but your pattern is showing." It's been said that a father is one who carries pictures where his money used to be. Fathers, they're men who give daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough so that they can have children that are smarter and more beautiful than anybody else's. I like this. Every mother generally hopes that her daughter will snag a better husband than she managed to. But she's certain of this, that her son will never get as great a wife as his father did. Perhaps one of my favorite writers is Irma Bombeck. Irma says that Dad was the only one in the house who could open the jar of pickles when no one else could. He was the only one in the house who wasn't afraid to go into the basement by himself. When he cut himself shaving, no one kissed it or got excited about it. And it was always just understood that when it rained, he got out the car and brought it around to the front door, and he got wet so that no one else would have to. When anyone was sick, it was Dad who went out to get the prescription filled. It was Dad who took a lot of pictures. He just was never in any of them. This morning, I want to talk to you specifically about the kind of dad that gets to be in the picture of his family's heart. I think that's in the heart of every man. We want to be in the picture. We don't want to just take pictures of our family, but we want to be in the picture of our family's home and our family's heart. God teaches us in this passage of Scripture, in his relationship with his son, two things about being the kind of dad that gets to be in the picture. The first thing I think that God teaches us from this passage of Scripture is that God knew that he would have to lead his son into experiencing a great spiritual moment. I think great dads recognize that. I think godly fathers realize in order for their children to experience the God thing in their life, that they have to be at the forefront of that happening. That they can't just command that experience, they have to lead their children into that spiritual experience. Too often, I've found that experiencing spiritual things are left to the mother, or they're just left to a dad who bites and barks out certain demands and commands. Now, my picture of this here is that I'm absolutely convinced that Jesus knew and he desired to do his father's will. He had this deep desire to make his father proud. I know that all of my life, I have had a deep desire to make my father proud. I think we see this as children. We often, as children, are talking to our parents as we're trying to do something. Remember when you first learned to ride a bicycle? And you would just yell and yell and yell, and you'd say, "Mom, Mom, Mom, watch this, watch this. Dad, 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 watch this, watch this." I think that's a desire that God put in each of our hearts, is to make our dad proud. I think in this spiritual moment when Christ was being baptized, there was this deep desire that he had, and he was acting out. He was acting on that desire, and that was to do something that would make his heavenly father proud, his holy father proud. He's here on earth, and he's wanting to do something that his dad can look at and say, "That's my boy." Now catch that. Christ is no longer at this point in heaven. His holy father is looking down from heaven. And this son is living here on earth like you and like me. And it's in this moment of his life that he's doing something that, out of a deep desire to make his dad proud, he wants his dad to be there. He wants his dad to see it. And it says that all of heaven opened up when the Son made the Father proud. Don't ever forget that in raising your children. Don't ever forget that in your own life. There's a deep desire to do something here on earth that not only makes your heavenly Father proud, but also makes your earthly Father proud. Proud enough to say, "That's my boy." Have you ever stopped and asked yourself the question of how a son could come to a place that he wanted so badly to please his dad that he would not only be willing to be baptized, but he would be willing to go to a cross and die on that cross in a painful, gruesome death so that you and I wouldn't have to? That's a deep desire to make your dad proud when you're willing to not just to die for him, but to die for others. I wonder, how did that desire get in the heart of Jesus Christ? I think it was more than a demand. I think it was more than a command. I think there was this deep desire that came as a result of Christ being around his Father and learning from his Father's example. You see, his Father was the living example in heaven of what then the Son was willing to do here on earth. You see, as fathers, our influence is powerful. It influences. It can be good, it can be bad, or it can be ugly. I think as a father, I have to often step back and ask myself, what kind of example do I set? And in turn, what kind of a desire does it give my children? You see, this morning, I woke up and received my cards, which at my house, that's the greatest gift you'll ever get, is when my girls write a card to their dad. I had also gotten blessed with a golf bag. And so I thought the gift giving was over. When I got here, I was shocked when I looked on the stage. And there was my baby playing the bass guitar. And my daughter singing. And my mother-in-law playing. And my wife leading. You see, there were some presents in this day I knew about. And then there were some presents I didn't know about. And so I changed chairs. And I cried. And I cried and I cried. Because they did something that moved my heart so deeply that it moved me to change chairs. They did something that's powerful and passionate in my heart. And they moved me. See, that's something each of us have within our rights, within our constitution, within our choices. Each of us have an ability here on earth to do something that causes God to stop, and not just to stop heaven, but to open the windows of heaven. You see, God is watching as a father, and he watches us, and as his kids, we have a chance to do things that move him. And today, as I sat on the front row, I was moved. It moved me to tears. It moved me to want to do more for my family than I'd ever done before. Because they did something that's close to my heart. I would do anything for my family. And so would you as fathers. And you know, as fathers, you are moved when your children do things here on earth that cause you to stand up, take notice, and move heaven and hell. Now from that, some of you today have arrived going through hell. And you need God to move and change positions in your life. Find the things that move him. Christ had given his whole life to his Father. And in this moment of having been baptized, God was so moved that he stopped everything. Because he was moved by his Son, he began to move things for his Son. And so today, whatever's in your life, please understand, your Father can be moved. Find something here on earth that moves him, causes him to stand up in your life and say, "This is my child in whom I am well pleased. Sickness and disease, be gone. Rebellion and dysfunction, be gone." And so we see that Jesus saw who his Father was. And out of this deep desire to please him, he said, I want to be just like him. I think God the Holy, God the Heavenly Father, led his Son by example to the cross. And I believe that that Son so wanted to please his Father, he was willing to get up on that cross and die for your sins and die for mine. And that's why I'm convinced that godly fathers who want to be in the picture of their family's home and heart lead their children and their family into great spiritual moments. That's the first way to get into the picture. The second way to get into the picture is to learn that God knew we have to actively be involved in our kids' life. You see, God didn't just put his hands on and in his son's life. God got actively involved by putting his heart there. As a child growing up in church, there was a song that we used to sing, and it was called, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There. Now, I can't tell you a whole lot about the song, even though I sang it about 5,000 times. I just cannot remember the names of songs, but I do remember the truth. The truth was that we as believers would sing this wonderful song, and it was kind of a statement, a declaration, a proclamation of our faith that said we are right with God. We are ready to meet a holy God. And if some tragedy would happen in our life and we would die in this moment, we would not go to hell, but we would go to heaven. And that you don't have to worry about me, that someday when we all stand around the throne of God, when God opens up the attendance book and takes roll, you will hear him call my name and you can count on me being there and me saying, as your Father, I'm here. It was a wonderful song entitled, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There. I have no clue what up yonder really means. I don't use yonder much. But today I'm going to challenge you to figure out and then count how many times you can use the word yonder. Like today, for instance, if you're headed somewhere to eat, maybe you could work it into your little time to go and you could say, well, I'm going up yonder. Or not. It's an amazing thing. This song was precious because it said, when God calls the roll in heaven, I'll be there. Do you know God's not the only one in our lives that takes roll? Our children too take the roll. They may not act like it matters. They may not even act like they want you to be there. But when when they're at church, when they have concerts and recitals, when they get married, when they are performing in all different kinds of sports, when they are dating, when they are failing, when they are fearing, and when they are struggling, they take roll, and they want to know when the roll is checked down yonder, you'll be there. God was there. When his son was being baptized, when his son was in church, not just at church, but in church, God was more than just being at church, telling his wife, how much longer? Oh, pastor's going to go 45 more minutes? That's wonderful. No. Here's the point. And you know the point. It's that our kids need to know when they're in whatever part of their life, they can with confidence check the roll and you'll be there. That's what makes great dads godly dads. They're just there. They're present, body, soul, and spirit. They don't just put their hands in it, but they put their heart into it. I'd like to think of us as dads, and I'd like to make this maybe analogy or comparison. I think that we're kind of like the worn out lazy boy. You know, the one that no matter how many times you move, it always moves with you. Dads, you know, because you and your wife always argue about whether it makes the cut or not. You're wanting to put it in the front room, and she's wanting to put it in the back room. But it's just that good old broken lazy boy that you can't find in any store anywhere else because you have it broke in and it fits you and all of you. Even if you're pressed down, shaken together, and much of you runneth over, it all fits in the lazy boy. You see, that's what great dads know. And great dads know that they're there for their family just like he is for his. The Bible tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us, according to Hebrews 13 and 5. So a great dad knows how to get in the picture by being actively involved, not just with his hands, but his heart. And finally, as I conclude my introduction, to get into the picture, God knew he had to use his voice. God knew he had to use his voice for more than just coaching, correcting, and controlling his son's behavior. He knew that he also had to use his voice to love, to affirm, and to embrace. Too often, dads, we use our voice only to bark out conditions, corrections, and directions. Again, the point is simply this. God knew he had to use his voice, and that it had to be for more than just coaching, correcting, and controlling his son's behavior. That he had to use that voice to love, to adopt, to affirm, and to embrace his son. You see, God used his voice unashamedly. There in that moment when everybody was looking, in front of God and everybody, or in front of himself and everybody, God said, "This is my son. I'm his daddy." The weight of his father, the ability and the authority of his father, everything his father is, everything his father has, everything his father will do, is behind him. For he is in my image, and he is my boy. And unashamedly, I say to his life, "Well done. Well done. Great job, son. Way to go, son." You see, great dads learn how to use their voice to love and to laugh with their families. We don't leave our feelings of love to chance. We can't afford to just say, "Well, they know because I put a roof over them. Well, they know because I grounded them 6 times last week." Great dads speak up. They tell their kids they love them. And Scripture, now I'm going to show you, teaches us that voice of love breaks the voices and the influences of fear, doubt, and unbelief in our children's life. I read this in 1 John chapter 4. It says that God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. You see, friend, when we only use our voice to command, to demand, and control our children's behavior, then it begins to create in them a sense of fear, resentment, and abandonment. It's not enough to go to work and brag on your boy, brag on your girl. It's not enough to tell everyone else, "That's what my kids are, that's what my kids have done." You have to go that extra step. You have to say to the boy, "You're my son in whom I am well pleased, and I am proud to give you my name, my love, and my life." Today, as we conclude, I want to remind you that being a dad is one of the most wonderful experiences that we as men will ever have. As I stand here today, I look at my children and I proudly call Taylor and Morgan by name. They had no choice what their father would do with his life. But they help their father succeed in his life. They make me feel like every day is Father's Day. And I proudly, unashamedly, in front of God and everybody, publicly give them my name, my love, and my life. And my driving prayer is your prayer, that all the days of my life my children would know I will always be at your side. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I don't care how many colors are in your hair or how spiky it is. I want my girls to know I will lay my life down for them today. Not someday, but you know, as parents, to be what God wants you to be, you have to lay your life down every day. And as I stand in this pulpit this morning, I have found that failure cannot be an option. We cannot allow failure to even enter into the equation. And I stand here this morning, a very proud father, but a father who is learning as he goes, who is learning on the job. This is my first time to parent teenagers. And I stand here this morning with a wife who has created a home that loves and respects and blesses the father and teaches the father how to succeed as a man. And I thank you for that gift. Because see, friend, even the cats in my house are female. I am a minority in a sorority. And I go in the other room after experiences with my females, and I need my wife to interpret girl world for me. But today, I think each of us as men can readily and quickly see where we failed, fallen short of the glory of our children, and fallen short of the glory of God. Aren't you glad, though, for second chances? And this day, I think our Heavenly Father is giving each man a chance to push the reset button. If you've sat here today and you've taken account of your life and you've taken role and you went through it and you thought, wow, I'm not leading my family into spiritual moments like I need to. Wow, I'm not actively engaged in their lives. I mean, my hands are there, but my head and my heart are elsewhere. Or you sit here today and you've said to yourself, man, I'm just kind of missing that with my voice thing. I'm using my voice to try to command and control their behavior, and I'm not using my voice to comfort and secure them in their behavior as they find themselves. Then, friend, I want to encourage you to do what your pastor does every day, and that is to hit the reset button and ask God to forgive me. And Lord, help me. You raised your son through the teenage years. Help me raise my daughters. Sometimes it feels like God says, no español. We're going to close with one more video, or a part of it, because our kids need us. And this is the chance where every man can begin to start making changes.
Dad, Dad. Hey, Dad. I want to be rich and good looking.
I want to be rich and good looking.
I need you to challenge me.
I need you to challenge me.
To be rich in good works.
To be rich in good works.
I'll be focused on building my career at all costs.
I need you to show me how to put my family ahead of work.
I'll seek my own comfort and joy.
I'll seek my own comfort and joy.
I need you to teach me to honor God.
I need you to teach me to honor God
with my time and resources.
I want to avoid hard conversations.
I want to avoid hard conversations.
I'll need you to show me how to speak the truth.
In love. In love.
I'll find myself wanting to please the crowd.
I'll find myself wanting to please the crowd.
I'll need you to remind me that I should obey God.
That I should obey God.
I'll look for happiness in many different places.
I'll need you to show me that joy is
found in following Christ.
I want to treat girls how the world tells me to.
I need you to show me how to honor them with all my actions.
I'll find myself stuck in bad habits.
I need you to show me the way out.
I'll need you to show me the way out.
I'll need you, Dad.
I'll need you, Dad.
I need you, Dad.
I need you, Dad.
To point me toward Christ
when no one else will.
To point me to Christ when no one else will.
Regardless of whether or not you have teeth. I'd like to ask the army of men in this congregation to stand for just a moment. Today we're going to dismiss just a little differently. We're going to ask our men to stand. As I was seated yesterday in San Antonio with two of the dearest men in my life, and we were eating dinner, I could not help but think in that moment how at times they've said, or in different ways, inferred that they needed me. And as I sat there and thought about that, I also thought about how deeply I need them. And I think what makes this church such a special place is the strength of the men that are willing to serve the Lord and work with all of their strength to point towards Christ. And men, I salute you. You make it an honor to be your friend, to be your pastor, and to be fathers together. We will continue to learn from each other. And in conclusion, we're getting that foreign feed through the sound system again, if you guys would change channels. In conclusion, I want us to stand in the middle of whatever it is that we're having to walk our family through. And for a moment, put down what we're not. And in this moment, put on who and what God is and has for our lives. My hope was that this morning you were stirred and you were challenged to leave here and to be better men and to be better fathers. My hope was for you to see that indeed this is war. Raising a family is a battle. It's not easy. We're going to make many mistakes. But thankfully, we have each other. Because we're going to need each other. And the more that our family needs us, the more that we're going to need each other. And so friends, in the midst of the battle, I want us to rededicate ourselves to the Lord and to our families. I want us to say in our heart to ourselves, I'm going to get back in the picture of my family's heart and my family's home. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, as a company of men, as an army, and as a band of brothers, Lord, we stand before you. And as your sons, we ask God that you would help us, that you would watch our back, that you would stand at our side, that you would go before us, that God, you would make inside us a new heart. And that heart in days to come would create new miracles and new beginnings for our family. Lord, forgive us for our sins, for they are many. And yet, Lord God, you are more. So forgive us our sins. Purify us from all of our unrighteousness. And create in us a new heart. And Lord, just as you now are a Savior to us, let us be life savers to our family. God, let this day be filled in our homes with our laughter and our love. And may our spouses and our children know that we as sons stand in a place that a holy God can stand over and say, "Well done, that's my boy." We pray this in Jesus' name. And before all of the men say amen and be reseated, I want you to find a guy and give him a high five. I want to say thank you for being here this morning. This brings us to our conclusion. And what is the conclusion on a Sunday morning? It's a beginning. Because each of us are going to leave here, and our hope is to become more like our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be His holy name. Before you leave, I just want to remind you of a couple things. First of all, if you're visiting for the very first time, we'd like for you to come to our visitor information center, which is just outside these doors.